That question is so loaded, John. I don't even know where to start
I guess
the problem is, and by the way, John, I love that question.
Interesting. This is an interesting topic.
What's the solution here?
Show up, understand your part, and just crush it.
Pay-per-click, social media, we can talk about all this stuff, but what really matters is patient experience, that wow factor.
Please, are you listening to yourself? Come on.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So sit back, take notes, and listen.
Oh, I love this. This is going to be fun.
Startup Uncensored. The questions you have with the truths you need to hear. And now your hosts, Michael D'Incio and John Bertagni.
Okay, guys, thanks for subscribing and jumping on today. We've got a power-packed crew today. Joseph Rossi and Associates, our friends in Chicago, definitely best in class in that market and just doing a lot of really cool things for doctors. Thanks for being on, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
John, you have history with these guys. Why don't you fill in the crowd of why we chose these Yahoos?
The Yahoo is the operative word there for sure. But most importantly, and it's not because they're Italian, you know, I saw from afar at that point in my life, I was an equipment guy in Chicago, and we crossed paths, you know, Joe and I, and he really escalated the market in terms of representation of dentists in an urban setting that I've never seen before. And, you know, everyone knows that I've been around this country and I've worked a lot of different markets, but what they do for their clients, how they sit hip to hip, and how they really understand their market, not only by empirical demographic numbers, but how they really hit the market and understand how it's going to impact the lives in the community by putting these dentists and placing them in the right spaces. So I just have deep, deep respect because they take tons of pride in what they do every single day.
I've been following them ever since you guys got on board, and just the messaging on LinkedIn and all of your outlets. Like, I've been blown away by your clients and how they respond to you. Why don't you guys give us kind of the history of Rossi real quick at a high level and what you guys are all about and what you're doing for doctors today?
Yeah, because you guys evolved too. So it's a great story. Pete, why don't you tell us a little bit about the evolution of the firm? You know, I know Joe's so humble, he doesn't want to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. He talks about himself. Yeah. Joseph Rossi and Associates, commercial real estate and practice brokerage firm formed in 2011. We represent dentists in their real estate dealings, whether they're starting up, expanding, relocating, renewing a lease, or even securing a new lease through practice acquisition. And then we're also here to advise doctors through transition, whether they're selling or buying a practice, you know, whether
super
that's
smart.
Through valuation, whether that's through real estate, you know, that's our discipline here.
Nice. And the firm has obviously expanded. You know, tell us about the team and, you know, the areas of expertise.
Yeah. So we got six now, including Joe and I. And Joe and I focus more on, you know, the real estate aspect of these transactions. And then we have Jerry West and George Bosnolis that focus on the acquisition side of things. And then Doug in our office is more on just outside of dental healthcare, right?
Yeah.
Real estate. And so, you know, we have a good squad here with a lot of years of real estate under our belt. You know,
how many deals do you guys think you've done over the years?
We've done close to 300 dental specific transactions. And that's a combination of acquisition, startup.
That's a strong number in 9 years.
Yeah, the majority of what we do is the startup dental practice is by far our most frequent transaction. And then our clients have kind of grown over the years, and their needs kind of evolve as their practices evolve.
I'm seeing the McDonald's ticker, millions of hamburgers served. How many hundreds of thousands of dollars do you think you have saved these docs in 300 deals?
You know, I was thinking about that. We would like to track that, because I mean, in one transaction, I mean, it could be well north of six figures, you know, of 100,000 or more. You know, right. it's really relative to, you know, the tenant improvement allowance. Obviously, there's economic value to rent abatement because you're not paying rent, right? So we save you there. You know, when do your escalations start? There's a small economic value there. But yeah, it's a lot of data to dissect. But yeah, it's
well. And you guys need to go up on that pedestal, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Typically, in a single startup transaction, our tenant incentive, you know, on a 2,000 square foot space equals anywhere from 100 to 250 grand, depending upon like those components.
There you go.
So it's a huge
number.
It's a huge part of the transaction.
Well, we're really excited to have you on today. We got some good questions, some hot seat questions, some softballs. You know,
6-inch softball, Chicago style.
Yeah. 6-inch. But if anybody wanted to reach us or talk about real estate or practice acquisitions, we're here free of charge anytime at 312-953-3553. And that's my cell phone. I love doing this. So don't feel like you're bothering me. Love to talk to you.
Bold move in the cell phone across the country.
Yes.
I love it.
I mean, and what's cool about it is, you know, it's a family affair. You guys are brother-in-laws. Your mom brings in cannolis. I mean, who knows what goes on there, but yeah. I mean, it's that I think also breeds that, you know, that family piece, because that's what you guys do with all your clients too, which is sweet.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of interest walking through these doors every day as, you know, family owned and operated. We want to bring that to our clients and, you know, we want to make sure that they're successful and their success is our success.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a hell of a
really, job. It's an intimate experience. I mean, we drive around, we look at a lot of opportunities that fall apart. The startup isn't for the faint of heart. It's a dynamic process, and you really need somebody to kind of guide you through it, not get too excited, not get too sad about the process, because, right. You know, if you're negative, the doctor will get negative, and it will almost seem kind of too daunting. So we try to keep our clients at an even keel, explore a lot of different opportunities. We like to get to a point with them in the process where they're like, this is what we want to do. Go out and get us this particular opportunity. And that only happens after a lot of trial, error, and even heartache. I mean, it's a process to get up and running. And,
you know,
I
want to add to that, you guys, because really good real estate firms, people, they almost are consultants in themselves, obviously. I mean, we're all kind of consultants in our own way within our field. How do you guys temper this really stressful but exciting situation? Because in a negotiation, we all know if your heart goes into a deal, you lost already. It's not a business decision. It's
Well, hang on a second. And let's put the scenario, right, that there's a great spot on, you know, Michigan Avenue or on Lincoln or something like that, right? And right in Lincoln Park. And it doesn't even make sense. But the doctor is like, I want to go there. But so let's put it in a scenario base. And you're just like, listen, you should really look at this other opportunity, because that's the real play. Like, how do you temper that? That's the real piece of this.
What we find as a bigger challenge is a doctor will give us somewhere where they want to be, and we'll say you should go in A, B, or C building. And we know it's a good opportunity because for the past for me, for the past 14 years, all I've done is look for dental spaces. So we kind of know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. So, you know, they may have a preconceived conception of what's a good space, and I'll see a problem in it, but they won't see it until we, you know, go through that process and even look. We tell our doctors, it's okay to look at opportunities that don't work and aren't a fit. It's almost by process of elimination where you, by showing what you don't like, leads you to what does work, you know? And there's just certain attributes that a startup is going to need. So if we have a doctor tell us, I love this spot, but there's no parking, it's really not a good spot. I mean, there's maybe a few markets in the entire Chicagoland area that you could get away with parking, but they're very limited. But if we're in a location, we know there should be parking there. They love the spot. There's no parking. You got to kind of tell them, you know, look at some other options.
Okay. Now we're really getting it into, in my mind, now we're really getting into it right here, because how do you guys use like the demographic companies? Well, we got a guy named David James. He owns RealScore. He does demographics for a living. You guys probably do your own demographics. I love that you're very sensitive and you have the conversations with the doctors about if they're ready to go to war or if they would rather just have a layup. I love this conversation.
Even down to it, what's your marketing budget and how much do you have in the tank, in the reserve, right? That's a question.
Right.
How do you guys use that? How do you guys use the data? This is the question. How do you use the data that you get or David James provides you? And then how do you like relate that to the doctor and then relay that to the streets? Because you guys see stuff on the streets that maybe David James isn't seeing or demographic companies aren't seeing in the data.
Right. And that's a great point. The demographics are a great tool to look what's on paper, but there's so many other variables that go into it. The demographic that we probably use the most is the dentist to density ratio. And we use it from the address of the location you're looking at. And we divide the amount of people by the number of dentists to give you, you know, one in some of the competitive suburban markets, it could be as low as 1 to 300. And then some of the highest demographic to density ratios we've seen are 1 to 12,000. The other big component of that dentist to density ratio is how far of a radius are you going to draw people from? For example, if you're in a Walmart anchored center, you're at least feeding from a 6-7 mile radius. So that draw alone is a huge, huge advantage. If you're in one of these neighborhoods with not very busy cross streets, you might even be able to only draw from 0.5 mile radius. So it's all relative. The demographic reports are only so good of a tool. I've seen spaces that look great as a demographic report, but when you do the field work, it's not that great.
Sorry, Pete. Go on, man.
I could put good real estate product up against a ratio any day of the week, right? Because at the end of the day, you got to take those studies with a grain of salt. Because let's say you have 12 dentists within a 1 mile radius. Well, now we can get real crazy and like, how many of those dentists are doing superior marketing, right? How many of those dentists are in network with the same insurances that you want to be in network with? And it's kind of difficult to get all that information, right? So you kind of take those demos with a grain of salt. But like I said, good real estate product, signage, exposure, national co-tenancy, parking, that's what you want to achieve, especially in a market like this where it's dense and we rely on other national co-tenants really drive traffic to a location, especially as a startup, because it will catapult the success.
I love Pete. I love you with that. That was a great. I mean, Joe, I love you too. But I mean, that was a
textbook.
You know, that was like cherry on top.
Yeah,
we'll actually tell a doctor we would rather see you go in a very good site in a competitive market than to be in an inferior site in a weaker market. The idea of a doctor going into an office building has been dead for years. We've got over 200 just straight startups, and we've only had one person go in a non-retail setting.
Nice.
Back off that, the specialists are still in those types of settings, real heavy referral based, your oral surgeon, your endodontist, your periodontist, they're still in second, third floor office space, zero signage because they're heavily referral. But as a general dentist, whether you're on practice number one or practice number 10, it's important to have that presence in the market.
So I've got a question, because you guys do a lot of, you do a lot of work, right? You do a lot of work in that market. You know, what is, and I know you actually keep in contact definitely with your clients, which is one thing that's a tribute to you guys, that they still want to actually talk to you. I barely want to, but they still want to for some reason. But what's the temperature? What's the temperature and the success rate of the people that you're putting in there? You know, I mean, you kind of said you're really helping guide them because a lot of them need your guidance, but you know, where are you seeing more success? Are you seeing people that maybe didn't listen to you? And can you give these listeners some ideas of pitfalls that some of your clients have taken that maybe haven't escalated in a certain way that it should have been? If they would have listened, it would have done a little bit quicker and had a little bit more success right out of the gate.
Yeah. I hate to say we're perfect, and this has never happened, but we haven't yet have a doctor call us and say, why did we do this, Pete and Joe? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, we're more than just a commercial real estate broker here. Obviously, we're specialized in dental, and so what we do beyond identifying a location is facilitating the project, right? Creating this team that they need to set them up for success. I mean, in my
opinion. What do you mean by that team? By the way, this is maybe the only softball you're getting on this because they're going to come a little bit hotter.
About to say, you are running them real soft right now. We're just,
by the way,
lobbing them up. Let's go. Let's go.
No, but I mean the team. What are you talking about? Like your team internal, or are you talking about?
Our team internal, and then industry-specific vendors, right? Resources from lending institution, equipment houses, marketing firms, consultants, banking consultants. The whole team that you need from a conversation that we initially have from a doctor to seeing their first patient and beyond that, we have all of those resources at our fingertips, right? So in my opinion, you really got to try hard to fail, especially when we're choosing a good real estate product that, we feel is proven time and time again from our past transactional history to be successful, right?
I think you just hit it, because there's a reason why we started with, vision, right? And now we're going into, then we go into demographics. And then what's right beyond demographics? It's real estate in our whole entire series that we're running here. It's because people come to you guys to help build and insulate themselves from problems, right? And that's why we feel it's super important to work with an industry specific, meaning dental specific, healthcare related real estate company. So they understand, that it's not about 10, 100,000 cars driving by your place. It might be about parking, because if you can't park with those 100,000 cars, there's no reason. Who gives a shit?
But it's the fact that if it's your reputation, right? And you go into these microsystems, Seattle, Denver, Chicago, Texas, all of the markets, right? The made any market, in a dental market, you've got the players in those marketplaces, and you got to find the A players in those marketplaces, because if you don't, you could fall into a C player, and they could kind of take you down a path that's a little uncharted, right? And so if you, and that's why I say that the ecosystem in a lot of ways protects our doctors or our clients, because if someone refers your doctor to someone that you don't trust or you have a bad story about, the team rallies and says, whoa, that dude did something wrong for one of my clients not too long ago. And I hear a lot about, actually, I love this topic. Let's keep going with it, because the good old boys club is a thing in every market. But the reason there's kind of a good old boys club is because we're really protective of our clients. Isn't that the truth? Well,
and it's predictable and it works. I mean, there's you don't go to a surgeon that sometimes does well and sometimes doesn't, right?
Hey, guys, just think about if we're not in touch or in tune with a contractor during the real estate negotiation, if we're not in sync with each other, the doctor could lose out just with that one vendor. Hundreds, tens of thousands of dollars. If a good vendor's in communication with each other will save you and create tons of value.
Right.
That's right.
Those vetted vendors at the end of the day. Here, I got two uncles that do construction. I'd love to give them business, right? But I never will, and it won't happen, because you want to know why? I have contractors that have been building dental offices for 2-3 decades, and that's what I need to give to my client.
That's right.
So you're gonna
hear us refer to the my buddy piece. You know, my buddy that's a dentist, my buddy that does IT.
Right.
You know, stay the fuck away from my buddy.
Right.
The guy that did one project, and he's like the most amazing like resource for you. Why? Because he did one startup. Got it.
It's a reflection of us too at the end of the day. I mean, that's what it sets us apart, right, from your average real estate broker, that we can facilitate this project for you and put you in touch with the best of the best in the industry.
Well, you'll hear like, my buddy said this rent is expensive, or my buddy said this TI isn't good. We have historical data on over 300 dental offices. We know how much square footage they take. We know what their rental rate is. We know what the escalation was. We know how much TI the landlord gave them. We know how much free rent they got. You know, those are the facts. And there's no, I mean, that's the data we have, and nobody else has that proprietary data. And we can show that to you and our clients. These are facts of what it costs to do a dental startup. And we know that. And some clients may want to dispute that, but that's their problem.
That's right.
Absolutely. I mean, commercial real estate is nothing to mess around with. I mean, simple language in a lease could equate to tens of thousands of dollars that could end up coming out of your pocket, from down to the HVAC system being the wrong size, and then you eventually have to replace that system, and that's $20,000. We look at these things from the capability of signage to the integrity of the space becoming a dental office, from the HVAC system to the electrical panel that's going to power your pan and your CRAC and all the other fun stuff that you want. And we've done this.
Yeah, you brought it up, man. And Pete, I mean, we built out a practice, here in, and it was a beautiful barrel building out here in Denver. Guess what? It needed HVAC. It was like $55,000 that was not accounted for, because the octopus, and you needed to get the airflow. It was insane.
Exactly.
On the HVAC point, though, when do you guys bring in the contractor to walk that space to identify some of that crap that needs to be pulled out so that you don't get burned with the HVAC? Maybe you guys can get ahead of that and work with the landlord and get some of that offset.
It's immediately, right? Because we don't want to go, because I have to know.
Talk about a softball, Mike. Well, I mean, come on.
You made the mistake. You made the mistake.
Because that's going to play a huge part in my negotiation process, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, it's about extracting as much as we can from the landlord, taking every last penny, lint, whatever we can out of their pocket and putting it in our client's pocket.
That actually brings up a good question. Before we get into the money question, John, I really want to get to that money question. As a consultant and someone that's been in the biz for a little bit and has seen these projects go through, the projections, right? Two things. It always shocked me that some folks are still calling the outside of the building's phone number and actually trying to work that deal by themselves because they think you guys are gonna cost them too much money or the fee and they're too worried. Great segue for how you guys get
this. This is the actual question.
As tenant representation or buyer representation services, there's no cost for us to the dentist. We're compensated directly from the landlord or the seller of that building. It's like the same difference of when you're selling your house and you're responsible for the proceeds. So for a doctor to think that, hey, I don't want to call a broker because it's going to cost me something, or I think I'll get a better deal if I don't, they're just sadly mistaken, right?
They're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars out of their pocket.
It actually works in the reverse. If you call the guy on that sign, that guy is either hired by the landlord or even worse, the landlord himself.
Does the fee go up? Does the base rent go up or down when someone calls that sign?
The landlord's not paying us a fee because you're paying for it 10 times over. And that's the fact of the matter. Some of these landlords have done hundreds of real estate transactions, and you're calling on this sign blind. I mean, it's such an unfair matchup, and some people don't even know it or don't even think about it. But to go back to construction, in order for us to properly negotiate and quantify a space for somebody, we need to have a professional dental contractor go in there and tell us exactly how much it costs to get the space from current condition to dental condition. And there is a certain standard that a landlord is supposed to turn over the space to you from. And that's where a lot of these landlords will make up the difference on tenants. You know, hey, I'll give you a good deal, but I'm not going to do any of this work that needs to be performed. Some of the base building work alone could be $200,000. So a doctor who's not represented may think they're getting a good deal because they have this preconception of what a good rental level is, but the landlord's not doing any of the work. So we put that whole piece of the puzzle together. And sometimes, you know, doctors will ask us, is this a good deal on this particular space? And we really can't answer their question until all the due diligence is done with the construction, with the other economic points of the letter of intent, and then we can give a full assessment. We should be able to give you an exact dollar amount on each location and how much it's going to cost you, down to the penny. This is an exact science. It's not guesswork. That's when people get in trouble, where they have guesswork and they think certain things are going to go a certain way and they don't. You have to have all that stuff done. The day you sign the lease, you've already knocked out every variable. Once that lease is signed, you're now on the landlord's time. Until that lease is signed, everything is free. So you have to do as much due diligence as possible. That lease signing is really the first time doctors are putting their commitment down. Everything up until the lease signing, they're really not out of pocket, but you're making a 10-year commitment out of the lease. So before that lease signing, it all needs to be done.
Let's talk about this for a second on the pay of how you guys get paid. Here's your hot seat. Here's your hot seat question. Hot seat. Okay. If you're getting paid by the seller, how do you draw the line and continue to represent the buyer in an aggressive way that ultimately could kill the deal or not and sacrifice a commission? The fact that you're getting paid by the seller, the landlord, yes. I've had clients literally say to me, which obviously I didn't believe, but they said, how do I know this is a deal for me? Obviously, there wasn't trust with this real estate person. But how do I know that this is a good deal for me when he is getting paid by the landlord?
Right. Well, it's the same reason why a doctor doesn't put in a bad filling in somebody's mouth with maybe materials that aren't the best for the patient. I have pride and ownership in what I do. And that seller wouldn't even respect me if I just made it easy and gave him everything I want. He would never hire me to be his broker. It's about pride in what you're doing. And, you know, our commission is basically the same whether your rent is $20 or $25. We've built our business by having doctors refer us to their friends. If I don't do a good job for this particular client, yeah, and they say something bad about me, there's nothing more valuable than that. This is why we've done hundreds of dental practices, because mm-hmm. we've done a good job for it. Our clients are going to sense it. So it's in our interest to fight for their interest. And that's how our business.
You got to understand, there's not communication between us and the property owner, right? Now we're communicating with the landlord or seller's representative, right? And going mm-hmm. back and forth with them. And as much as we have a fiduciary responsibility to represent our doctors, that landlord or seller's broker has the same responsibility to that building owner, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're the contrary to that, where we come in and represent their interests, and you can. It's obvious when we're in the negotiation process that we are representing their interests, you know. And like Joe said earlier, it doesn't really matter what their rent is. The commissions for tenant representation buyer, those fees are already worked out between the landlord or seller and their broker. The only difference is that we come in, represent the doctor's interests, and instead of the landlord or seller's broker getting paid a full fee for only representing the landlord or seller, we come in and they split that fee with us. It's called a cooperating commission.
By the way, this is exactly what, this is the empowerment that I want our listeners to have, right?
You guys,
understand this. This is beautiful.
Yeah, if our clients aren't happy, we're not going to get a transaction done. If they know I'm not fighting for their interest, no deal is going to happen. And we're going to be out of business. So it's in our interest to do a good job for our clients. And again, that's how the business was built.
It's their biggest, by the way, it's their biggest expense is yes. that lease. It's, I mean, people think it's equipment or it's the construction. No, man, it's absolutely that lease or that building. And one of the cool things is too, it's, you know, you guys also don't only do leasehold. You know, you actually find buildings and you actually put people in those spaces. What, you know, what's that look like in the Chicago market, you know, in the urban setting and then obviously the suburban setting, you know, how do you differentiate that when you put those guys in, hey, I think you should actually do a standalone building right here on this corner.
And let me add to that. And why would you buy a building right out of the gate? It's a lot, the loan amount and the risk feels like a lot more, but why don't you go through some of those advantage points as well for owning your own real estate right out of the gate?
By the way, Mike, you didn't even know I was going to ask this question.
And I'm rolling with it.
It's all about availability, right? And it's like, you know, whether I'm leasing or buying, is that particular location going to serve my practice based on the variables that we discussed, right? And so it's not about the economics at that point, because we'll get through that, right?
Like, wait, did you have these questions? Did John leak these questions to you guys?
Hey, listen, I didn't want this to be the Tonight Show Jay Leno edition where everyone knows all the questions.
Textbook.
well, here, and just to speak further on that, I mean, here, as a startup, Dennis, your lease, there's so much more product in the leasing market than there is purchasing, right? Better product, right? You're not going to get on an outlot to, you know, a Costco or a Sam's Club or next to Starbucks or Chipotle or some of these really strong national tenants by purchasing those buildings. Unless you got a couple million dollars laying around and you want to do that, great. But I can capture that piece of real estate through leasing. And the other thing with leasing versus buying is just much more cash intensive, right? Where down payment, there's no incentives. Next month, your mortgage is due, your note is due. Whereas in leasing, we're extracting incentives from the landlord and alleviating that initial investment for the startup, right? And in
what you're getting at is rent abatement, meaning delayed payments of your, and then also tenant improvement dollars. Correct, Pete? Just to let our listeners know that might not know this piece.
Absolutely. What doctors don't realize is that there's incentives that they deserve on a 10-year lease, right? Especially as a medical tenant, they're very sought after by landlords, sometimes just as sought after as a national tenant, right? And so in return for that long-term commitment lease, that 10-year lease, we negotiate, like what you said there, John, rent abatement, which means free rent, right? Typically somewhere between 6 to 8 months, sometimes even a year. Right. Wow. And then also tenant improvement allowance. You're going to make X amount of capital investment into leasehold improvements. We want the landlord to invest with you. Right. And it's all unique on how much we can extrapolate from the landlord, because every landlord is different from here to across the street and down the street, whether they own one building or whether they own 2,000 buildings across the country. It's our job to find that out and see how deep their pockets are and how much we could actually get from them. But those are just two incentives that have economic value to them. You know, we try to freeze your initial rent for the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, depending on what we can accomplish. That also has an economic value to it as well. There's tons of variables.
I've always said the longer the lease, and this is totally self-serving for you guys, but the longer the lease you have, the more stability your practice has, because you really just never know if you get disabled or you got to move or something crazy happens. I'm on the acquisition side just as much as I am on the startup. How do you, and you guys are too, how do you sell a practice without a strong, long lease? You don't.
Because, well, by the way, banks won't even let, you know this, Mike, as a banker, put on your banker hat, man. Banks won't even lend the money, man, if you don't have a 10-year lease. You remember that.
I'll put the banker hat on it. Absolutely. You got to have 10 years, but I'm talking about even longer, securing that lease for a long period of time so that potentially you can hand that practice off to someone else. It's
valuable.
When we
negotiate these leases, we're not just talking about today. We're talking about 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, sometimes 25 years down the line, right? Yeah. So we're negotiating a 10-year initial term, but we're also negotiating what's called options, right? Options are good for the tenant, bad for the landlord. But we have the right to the space. You're going to make this huge investment, both economically and the goodwill of your practice. You have to protect that investment. You can't have the landlord have any leverage to get you out of that space. So we negotiate the options up front. And not only do we negotiate them up front, but we negotiate definitive rates, right? So sometimes what I'll see is a lease that maybe I'm doing a renewal on, somebody signed a 10-year lease and, you know, they have an option, but it's at market value. Well, what the hell is market value and who's going to dictate that 10 years from now? It could be $20, $30 a square foot more than it was when you signed your lease. But what we do is we negotiate something definitive through what's called escalations. I can get into all that, but at the end of the day, the way I like to structure these leases is that if I sit here and do the math, I could tell you what your rent is going to be in year 17, and you have the right to the space. And not only do you have the right to the space, but I'm also going to negotiate that you have the right to assign that lease so that in the event you are sick of the cold and want to move to California, or you have an opportunity to sell your practice, now you have the right to assign that to the new doctor. I've seen acquisitions blow up because they don't have this language in their leases. So we're structuring not only an enter strategy, but also an exit strategy, whether it's in 5 years or 25 years.
Well, it even goes beyond this. I mean, here's the reality behind this, Joe, because you actually are working on a 15-year, 30-year note from a bank. So people look at the purchase of this space as, oh my gosh, how am I going to afford it? You know, this $600 million building. Well, you're able to spread those payments out over a long period of time. In addition to that, so you're actually building equity. You're your own landlord, meaning your rent base can be whatever the heck you want it to be. And then obviously in the end, you actually have an asset to sell. And hopefully at the end of that asset, you could actually sell it with the practice and then
have a, you know, a little parachute at the end.
Right. You might, you could create an income stream for your retirement if you own your building and you're sold to a group. If the lease is properly structured, it could be a great investment tool. So yeah, all these things that we talk about today, they're so situational, and, you know, we give advice differently depending upon where you at, where you're at in your stage of your career and your propensity for debt. You know, you're going to look at debt a lot differently as your career matures. And there's just there's a lot of different aspects of it depending upon where you are. So
let me echo that, because I literally just got off the phone with a seller. I was negotiating the buyer's deal. And I literally just got off the phone with the seller, and they accepted our deal. And I lowballed the practice so bad for the seller, because she wasn't willing to reopen for COVID. Timestamp, COVID's happening right now, right? But she sold the practice for $50,000 is how low I got her practice. The point that I'm making is she's in Cupertino, California. We're buying the building for $1.2 million.
Right.
So she kind of got her payday because she leveraged the risk by owning her building. Although her practice took a nosedive.
Yeah.
She's like, that's okay. I got 1.2 coming to me, baby. So that's a lot. That's a live example.
Right. So let me ask you about debt, guys, because you're dealing with a lot of young guys too, right? Guys and gals that are coming out of school. And, you know, in some Midwestern, what is it? 80 grand a year, right? 80 G's a year is what they're paying. So, you know, they're coming out 320. That's if they don't have any debt from before or living expenses, right? So, you know, you were talking about being a psychologist, or in some terms of, you know, helping these guys through from a mindset standpoint. You know, what is that conversation like, especially when it comes to not only, you know, you have your monthly student loan debt, but now you have this lease. Are you guys going to be able to get through this piece? And how are you making sure that they're making the right moves with equipment, with marketing, blah, 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 blah?
It's very counterintuitive. They have all this debt, and now you have to go into a good space. You have to take on more debt in order to get a good space. It's sometimes hard. Sometimes it's hard for them to comprehend. But the alternative is not opening up your own practice, working for somebody, and never getting out of the debt. You're going to have to go into more debt in order to have that higher net profit than you would being an associate. It's the only way out, but the hard thing is it's counterintuitive. You have to spend a lot of money on your practice build out and your rental rate in order to get compensated for it. And you'll be able to pay down your student debt a lot quicker.
I can see the passion on that side, and it's awesome to be a part of this program with you guys. I want to remind our listeners, everybody has access to these two. They will have access to you on Facebook. They'll be able to go on, answer questions. If you're from Chicago or anywhere in that area, any area that Rossi Associates is in, please outbound, ask them questions, subscribe, be a follower, get a part of this movement. But I just want to say thank you both.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys on this.
Are we done?
Well, hey, you know, this party continues. I might hit end on record, but this party could keep going. You know, even if you're not in Chicago, these guys are a resource for you. Use them.
We can help anybody regardless of where their geographic is.
And I mean, from my standpoint, guys, you guys know you're some of my favorite people. I feel it, my man. In fact, you know, one of the times that Joe, you and I got to break bread at Club Lago over there on Superior and Orleans, you know, in comes my uncle and his entire family. Next thing we know, I don't even know. Maybe my uncle even ate off your plate. I'm not even sure. But
yeah, I was just at a family dinner with 20 people. First time.
That's awesome.
But, you know, I mean, that's what it's about. That's what Chicago's about. I mean, that's the city of Chicago is one of the best cities in all the world, in my mind. And you guys represent it in such a fashion with professionalism, but also you embody exactly what Chicago is, which is just, you know, the love of the city, the knowledge of the city, and then giving people, you know, the power behind your knowledge. And you do it better than probably any of the real estate people out there, in my mind. So kudos to you. I'm lucky to have you guys as friends. Yeah. And your team, Jerry West, etc. I mean, some of the best individuals out there.
Hey guys, thanks again for logging in, being a part of this. You know, we're super excited about this program. Remember, you can always follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. We're on all the podcast channels. Please subscribe. Be a part of our Facebook group as well, where we'll be able to bring all of these episodes, the participants, and all of our partners to that private group, where John and I will be doing some free consulting, and you'll have access to all of these partners. Log in, be a part of it, ask questions. It's meant to be interactive. So thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next episode.